Hi, everybody. How are you?
You guys, I have Anna with me again this week. See, Hetero Life Mate, who produces the show, told me that he has no idea who you are, like what your name is. And I was like, what? Because tonight I was like, okay, after I eat, I'm going to go record with Anna. And he's like, who's Anna? And I just gave him this look like, you've been producing my show, you know? And he's like, if I, as the person who produces your show, doesn't even know who she is, that means you're not saying it often enough. So I think he just doesn't listen to me, to the show. I don't know. Anyway, hi, Anna. Anna's with us. Hannah Kala is unable to join us this evening. She, something about a rig and a water table and things were sounded really, really bad. And so it's just us.
Yes.
So, how are you, Anna?
Here we are. Yeah. Another, fun filled 2 weeks to, discuss.
Two weeks to discuss.
So,
okay.
So let's get into it.
Do we start with like the elephant in the room? That's like the everything is like it's
yes.
all dollar store Kanye, or do we just like, I don't even want to talk about him, but he's so much like his issue is so much part of the show. So,
okay. All right. So let's start with the episode prior to the one that we just watched yesterday.
Okay.
Shaida meets the kids and she,
how fake was that scene?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if she is very shy as a human being or is this all an act? So the kids come, they meet her. It was cute, I have to say. And she goes, I don't like games. No.
They asked her to play a game and she was like, I don't play games ever. I don't ever. But since you're forcing me to, I will. Like, okay. Like, come on. Don't be a dick. Like, if you're going to be forced into it, you don't need to say all that. Right. Like, just do it and smile and nod. Cause that's what we do for kids sometimes.
Yes. So the kids are very sweet. Well-behaved, sweet. They go in the basement. They're playing pool. Actually, she's holding the pool stick like wrong, if you've noticed. I noticed. And so they're just talking and then the elephant in the room comes out again, like, oh, like what do you want to have kids? And she goes, well, that's something that your father needs to answer. And then he says, only Allah will know. Allah, like basically, yeah, like leaving it in like the hands of God.
That's kind of, well, Allah, yeah, Allah. But they say like inshallah. And you know, in the way I can, it sounds the way that I can't pronounce it right, so I'm not even gonna try. But Muslim countries will say that often, like as a, you know, if God allows, but if Allah allows, and it's a phrase that's just often just, it's almost trite, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like
we say it too, like God willing, we get pregnant, God willing, we get married. Yeah. It's similar. It's the similar
concept. Same concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that whole scene was fake, right? Like it had to have been clearly fake. And like, cause they've been together, what, like 2 years? No, they were together longer than 2 years. Like, I don't know. It would have been 2 years since they'd seen each other or something like that. And they, you don't get to this point in a relationship without at least having somewhat of a conversation. Now, I can't say that for sure about all of the couples because some of them are dumb as shit. But I will say this about Shaida is she seems really smart, intelligent, beautiful, has her shit together. What the hell is she doing with Bilal? And I feel like she would have, this is obviously an important thing for her. She would have had this conversation with him before she agreed to marry him. Not just like on the second day she's in the US and with the kids and all of that.
Well, no. Also like cut to the next episode, because I guess let's cover them all together. Mm-hmm. The next episode is them driving to the car to go to the mosque to do their religious thing, which is a big deal for them.
Right.
So she's going to meet the wife.
to my.
She's gonna meet the she's gonna meet the ex-wife. The kids are gonna be there, and his family, like everybody, everybody and the mothers.
This is his community.
Yes. So they're in the car, and I don't know how the play fighting starts, but then he gets really pissed off at her, pulls the car over. The only thing that I'm gonna say is that I think he was out of line. However, she was smacking him upside the head in a moving vehicle, which is dangerous. So that's one thing that like I will say. However, but like you should know your significant other. You should know the playfulness, all that. Mm-hmm. How do you not know each other? So you don't know each other at all that you can't even play fight with him. And he could put a prank on you, basically put you up in a fake house with the ceilings falling down. And then you play fight with him in the car, just being silly and goofy and trying to just joke around, and he ain't having it. So there's a double standard with Bilal. He's very controlling. He's very, even like the coffee scene where he's like, oh, babe, I brought you a latte. And she's like, I'm going to drink it in the kitchen. And he goes, you could drink it wherever you want in the house. And she's like, well, I know you're very particular and blah, 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 blah. And then cut to the scene where they're in the mosque and he's basically ignoring her. Then she meets the ex-wife. It's a very awkward conversation. And the wife has a little girl, another baby from her second marriage. And that just slapped her. I feel like everything just like boom, 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 boom. It's like slapped her in the face. Like here's the wife with her new husband and her new child, baby girl, you know, whatever. And then he goes, drops her off. She does yoga. And then he comes home and she's all dressed up, ready to go out. And he's punishing her for not doing date. Like we're not doing date night. And like, why?
There's so much to unpack in all of that that you just said, not let alone the rest of the stuff that happened over these two episodes with these. The thing about driving in the car, and this is the scene that everyone's talking about, right? First of all, with tapping somebody on the back of the head, I just want to get this out there. So a hetero life mate is like this. He is, yes. If you tap that guy on the back of the head, particularly while he's driving, it triggers something inside of him and he reacts like in this weird way. That said, Bilal reacts on a whole different level, and his isn't just triggering something in him. Like he's just, this is him, right? He's just, yes, a gaslighting asshole, controlling, mm-hmm, whatever, all the things. And so, granted, she shouldn't have done it again, but she legitimately, I think, was thinking this was just playing. When I've done it to hetero life mate, he has told me, and I know this, but occasionally it is still like just like an instinct, like instinctual type of thing, right? Like we have a playful, joking relationship. Sometimes that includes just whatever, just like smacking him, and the back of his head happens to be there. I immediately apologize, got it up, because I know this about him. All that said, though, he would not act the way Bilal did and make me and pull over and do this whole and then this whole conversation. So I just want to put it out there that I understand smacking the back of the head can be problematic. That said, mm-hmm, he would never speak to me the way that Bilal speaks to Shaida. Like that is just called for from your fiance. Yeah, sorry, you know what, my ass would be taking a lot more than just an Uber back home. My ass would be taking an Uber to the airport and I'd be flying back to Trinidad.
I'd be like, bye.
Yeah, girl, bye. Because no. And if anybody, I haven't seen it yet, but I haven't been online much because it's been a Monday. It's been a hell of a Monday, y'all. And I haven't seen anybody defending him yet, but I haven't looked, so I don't know if it's out there, but I feel like it's going to be out there. It's going to come, like, he already didn't get, like, good vibes with his quote-unquote prank. And can we stop using that word to describe what he did with that house? Like,
that was just so ruthless and ridiculous, and I, it's just not fair to her. She comes to this country. She's trying to build a life with somebody. She's, you know, trying to kind of float above water, let's say. And he's just not even like, there's no love in their relationship. I see no chemistry. Mm-hmm. I don't see kissing. I don't see anything, you know,
I don't see versus anything between
versus them. The other couples, I could say they all have a lot of sexual chemistry versus these two is a business transaction for Bilal. I just want a hot trophy wife to compete with my other wife and whatever.
Who's also beautiful. Yeah.
Was also beautiful. And, you know, the cutting to the next clip of the next week and the conversation that they have next week, we will have way more to unpack, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. He is my least favorite cast member and probably the one I can't stand the most. So
yeah, I feel like we need like, cause the description of his behavior, like I lose words to describe it. Right. Like I need like a therapist or something like that on the show who can talk to us with all of the words used to describe him, you know, because I mean, narcissistic, controlling, gaslighting asshole. That could only go so far. Like, how many times can I post?
Yeah, how
that?
Many times? Like, yeah, exactly. And like, he's just, ugh, like, no redeeming qualities. It's not like, okay, you know, let me just buy, you know, her whatever, you know, I can't even think that we've seen a cast member like this in a while. I can't even think of anyone of them that we've seen that is this much of an asshole to his girlfriend or his, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, to his fiance. Like, and yeah. I feel bad for her and I hope yeah. that he does turn a new leaf. Maybe we haven't seen, maybe we're just getting a bad edit. I don't know. He is just, he just,
but you can't claim bad edit because they use what you give them. So it's yeah. not a bad edit. You really did those things. You
yeah,
know,
he's
if you're just pretending, that's a different story. But like
he's giving me like Jesse vibes. Jesse and Darcy, yeah. like how he kind of belittled her. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
he gives me similar vibes like that because Jesse
the
is
belittling,
just
the lecturing, all of that. Is mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, and he's infantilizing, some whatever.
he's just her making like her. I don't know, but anyway, they are just a hot mess. I mean, praying for them honestly, and praying for her. Maybe she'll see the light.
We know they get married. So I mean, this is a broadcast. We know they get married. So yeah. pretending that this doesn't work itself out. Who cares if it does or doesn't? They get married anyway, regardless of whether it works itself out. So that's really all we're
looking
for.
Exactly. The next couple of the...
What's next on your notes?
My next is Jabri's mother and her little interaction with Miona and the clothes.
Oh my God.
Okay, so...
Talk about... Okay, I'm sorry, but this of all the fake scenes, this was the worst fake scene. Because how is she going to be like, oh, I'm going to go do my laundry. Okay, that was like, all right, whatever, sketch. Anyway.
She puts like four things in the machine.
But she doesn't put it directly in the machine. She takes it out and she hands it to her. Like, she hands it to me, to mom. Like, mom was going to put it in the washing machine. Like, it was more work for you to reach out... just to set up the scene to have this conversation.
So then she picks something up. I could tell from the television at the top, it's clearly a crop top. I own those, you know, I wear things right. like that. So I'm watching this and she's like, is this going your head or whatever? And then she's like, no, it's a top. And then basically, and let's just cut to the chase. Miona tells mom to go fuck herself. Like, I'm going to wear whatever I want. I'm proud of my body. And I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
So then.
Well, she did say at some point that maybe it was the later conversation. She's like, but I'll try to respect since it's your house.
Yeah. Which is.
Or something along those lines. Right.
Yeah. So that was that part. And then he cuts the next scene with them where he basically like yells at mommy for making
what
his
you mean
fiance
to Miona?
Yeah, and then mom starts with her like, you know, psychology, like, you know, she kind of like turns it around and is like, hey, pretty much like, it, you know, she's not going to tell us how she really is. And she's fake. Like, she didn't seem too upset when I talked to her. Is this who you want to marry? Like, basically, like, twisting it to him, like, is this who you really want to marry? Is this who you want to be with? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, another red flag. Here we go. Like, mom, I think mom is jealous of her. That's my opinion. I think mom is jealous that her only son is in love with this girl and that she's going to steal him away and, you know, take him right. to the
well, yeah, because she is. That's so I'm getting her intention.
I'm getting like kind of like Debbie vibes from her. She's that the storyline of like the sister-in-law, I mean, the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law fighting. Mm-hmm. So I could possibly see this going on a blow up on Miona and her because, but she's a therapist and she knows how
mom's
to,
a therapist. I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that part, but they didn't really have much this episode. Let's think of who else. Oh, Binny and Ariella's return to the United States.
Oh my God. I practically fell asleep through their scenes last week of them arriving in the United States and then spent way too much time with mom and dad and in the airport. Like they just, the editors just clearly they needed to edit more on that scene.
They seemed, well, this is like the other thing that people don't know about her. Like basically this girl is 30 years old. She's never worked a day in her life. All she's been doing is living off of daddy's, you know, money, mm-hmm. traveling all over Africa, wherever country
she's the world. Yeah.
Yep. And she's like, well, you know, I don't know how, like what's going to happen and how I'm going to work. Like maybe like, you know, I'm assuming their educated family. I'm assuming she must have a bachelor's degree. She can get an entry level office job just to pay the goddamn bills. I don't understand that.
Right.
So, and you know, Benny's going to be alone. And then he wants to be a UFC fighter. He wants to move to New York. He's having all these pipe dreams. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
But here's the thing. Okay. And she's getting on here. This is what I was thinking when this whole scene was going on. Is, you know, he's talking about wanting to be a UFC fighter and he's talking about, oh, maybe one day wanting to live in New York and all this stuff, right? He's saying these things as like aspirational. This is the way I viewed it. It's like aspirational things that he would like to work towards. Mm-hmm. He doesn't expect to move to New York tomorrow and go headline a UFC fight tomorrow. That's not what he's saying when she's like, we don't even have jobs and I'm so stressed about finding money. He's not suggesting that you move to New York tomorrow. He's suggesting that he likes New York. This is a nice area. This is his first impressions of New York. You know, he's only ever been in the United States one other time. And that was real quick for the birth of his other child because the other child had some kind of birth trauma issue, something, or he's fine as far as I understand, but he came to the United States for that, like on a compassionate visa back when those were a thing. Anyway.
Yeah. I think they're going to be fine. I think mommy and daddy will come through.
Oh yeah.
And just whatever, but their storyline just getting old, just, you know, get married, should have got off the pot at this point with those two.
Again, they're married as well.
Yeah. So yeah. No. I'm just saying like, it's just dragging to the inevitable let's see.
But it's dragging with them because I mean, we've seen them how many seasons now? We saw them the other way. And then we saw them, was it like happily ever after? Mm-hmm. And then now we're seeing them on regular 90 day. And then we're going to see them again on another happily, like, or something. I'm over them. They did not need to come back this season.
No.
And I think that they did. They did a mistake. It was a mistake to cast them again this season.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Guillermo and Kara.
Oh, God. Okay. So I have a problem with Kara we don't have a ton to talk about with them yet because we haven't seen a whole lot with them substantively, but they've obviously set up where part of the storyline was, oh yeah, my uncle's going to threaten to beat you up and this and that. And I never think that's cute. It's not just a them specific thing. That idea of, oh, my daddy's going to beat up my boyfriend, or he's going to greet you at the, you know, with a shotgun at the door when you come to pick her up for a date. I think it's sexist. I think it's patriarchal. And I think it's just gross and stupid. And I didn't find any of it funny with them. And then obviously they're setting up a does Carrot drink too much storyline, because Guillermo was like, oh, when they were like, does Carrot do anything that bothers you, or whatever it was that, however they producer question that they rephrased for themselves.
Yeah. And pretty much like she's a drunk and she doesn't care. And my opinion of them is like, you know, everyone's like constantly commenting on how he's a baby and he's so young, but she's the more immature of the two of them. She acts a fool more than him. So I feel like he's a lot more mature and ready to get married and more serious and more like, I want to make money. I want to have a family. I want this. I want that. And she's all like, woo, party girl, blah, blah, blah. And they said it in the first episode that she was some birds weren't meant to be tamed, apparently. And that's her.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And, you know, and he was saying, because where's he from? Is he from Venezuela?
He was in DR for a significant amount of time. So I consider him, but
is originally from Venezuela, right? So wasn't there like a civil war? Isn't there war, kind of thing going on? So he grew up in that environment, and then he escaped it with his brother to live in DR and work, and their parents were still back in Venezuela. That to me shows a level of maturity way beyond what Kara has. I think you're absolutely spot on with your assessment of them, because I feel like he is absolutely ready. And she isn't. I mean, maybe that'll work out well together. We haven't seen them really just interacting together, but versus like, okay, you're going to go meet this person and this person. We haven't seen them like necessarily handling life, like just lifing, just adulting.
Existing.
Like we did with like Dollar Store Kanye and Shaida. We saw them existing. They got in a car to go to Juma, right? Is that pronounced right? To go to this, that's normal everyday life. That's their life. We haven't seen similar with Karen Guillermo yet, so I haven't gotten a sense of what their interaction is like yet.
Yeah, and it's a lot of filming with like her family or like out to dinner. The next preview is them going to a high school reunion, so again, not really interacting with them as a day-to-day couple and like that type of filming. It's always like filming with others.
It is them filming in situations where she would be consuming copious amounts of alcohol.
Okay, good.
So
good
maybe
point.
They're editing what they've filmed to show that is the initial storyline. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I like Kara. I found her I found her on Facebook and Instagram. Her Facebook doesn't seem that used. Her Facebook is like, she's one of her many jack of all trades things. She's a realtor. Who knew? She's a realtor in Charlottesville. And it looks like she focuses a lot on commercial properties, like small, like, you know, you'd like drive in and there's like a dog boarding, you know, like random places. Like the, that's what these things look like to me. Not necessarily like strip malls or, you know, like those types of commercial properties. It's these other like individual, like commercial properties is what it seems like to me. Although there are houses on there too. So she's done, she does both. It looks like, I was actually trying to find her friend Hillary because I wanted to talk to Hillary. I want to get some scoop from Hillary, but, I have been able to find her, but she has not yet responded to anything. I have reached out to her, but such is life, such is life.
Thais and Pat. So this was a good point I put in my notes. We this is the only person that we saw abroad besides Binny and Ariel. So everybody else, yeah, I feel like we've like
we didn't get the 48 hours before in
not really. I feel like Thais was like we got to see her dad, we got to see her grandmother, we got to see her little sister, and it's like seems like a cute family, seems very close. They were very sad she was leaving. But one thing that took me back was why didn't she tell dad that she was going to the United States to get married?
Versus a little just weird. Visiting. Yeah. She like didn't want to let him know, but that did set up a storyline for how things are going to play out later.
Yeah.
Through the season, I think, because I mean, obviously, you know, they showed that's a sequence with her family for a reason, right? And they're showing that she's close to her family. She's a good kid. She has this great relationship. And that's, you know, one of the points of contention. Obviously, you know, they're setting up the story. They've been setting up the storyline with John, Patrick's brother, Boston John. Now,
the one thing was interesting. So this couple,
we got to talk about this. We got to talk about this because
this couple, this couple, I really like actually because I feel like the guy is so excited. He's like shaving his back, getting all primped up for her. He buys her the nicest bouquet of flowers I've ever seen. Most of them are from like the dollar store. Puts in real effort. He washes the car, blah, blah, blah. They meet up and some type of tongue situation. They were like tonguing each other down the airport. Did you catch that?
No, I missed that.
It was like, oh, the tongue, something like very, you know, from the beginning, you see the burst of chemistry that they're really in love, clearly, that they're clearly really happy. Get in the car. They start talking about how they're going to have sex, which is normal, I guess, like normal couple stuff. And then they get to the house and basically it's like the brother's sitting there hanging out. I guess he's waiting. And it's like, yay, what's up? Like, you know, just trying to be cool, trying to be chill. And then he's like, what happens after that? Oh, he's like, oh, keep put the TV up. We're going to have a quickie or something.
Oh, right. Which he's like, we're going to go take a shower. Like, put the TV up loud, you know, but, obviously, you know.
Yeah. But cool. I have to say the brother seemed cute because he brought up the champagne. He was being trying to be welcoming to her because she's not into this John brother roommate thing.
So, okay. I don't have anything to base this off of yet, but I don't have any concrete evidence. Let me put it that way. Basing this off just years of experience watching the show is that I feel like this is a scenario where John, you know, Boston John and Thais actually get along perfectly fine. The whole situation is totally kosher, but they're pretending this is a situation for storyline. And I got that feeling partially because some of the things that John was doing was very genuine. You know, he was bringing out, you know, his commentary and the things that he was saying, bringing up the, you know, the champagne and all this stuff. It felt very genuine. It felt very like, I actually care about my brother and I care about my brother's fiance. I care about the situation. And these are people that I love, you know, and I want to celebrate her coming. That all felt very genuine versus like, Jabri's mom being like, well, you're going to have to cook me dinner. You know, that's that's not very welcoming, you know. And in fact, John was making eggs. He was making breakfast and or lunch or whatever time of day it was, I think in most recent episode. And Thais was all, why are you making John's eggs? He's perfectly capable of it. And he was like, because I'm making the eggs. Like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like it all, it seems like the things that are being said don't jive with the vibe and the actions of what's happening.
Yes.
And then like John drinking beer in the morning obviously was a setup, totally, you know, fed. And of course, I feel like this entire episode was set up, you know, the producer set up. And but if the producers and the editors and everything are smart, they'll drop that part. You know, like it's already bad enough, like that you're dealing with the whatchamacallit, the dude.
I get it.
Sorry, I was afraid. I mean, it's enough that you're dealing with John pretending not to like her and her pretending not to like him. And I think they're all really fine. They're all adults. It's a big house. Like they'll be fine. You know.
And I think like the beer thing, like. You know, they were probably like rolling around until about 12 o'clock. I mean, you know, it's very normal. I mean, especially like Sunday people are off, they drink, they watch football. He wasn't doing anything really like that.
Like it was 7 a.m. and he was drinking before work. It seemed like, they probably slept in and it was like noon, 1 o'clock and they were making like brunch.
He's playing video games. Like that's what guys do. Like I don't know, considering how family oriented she is and how, you know, she's so sad about leaving her family. It's kind of like weird that she's judging his brother, who's basically just being a dude. Like this is what guys do, you know?
Yeah.
But,
which I think is stupid. Like, I would like to see the genuine relationship between these people, because that is a real storyline. Even if you don't dislike the other person, having to share a house is a new, when you want to be by yourself or whatever, play house with just your fiance, that's a legitimate issue, right? You don't need to make it bigger than it is. It's already, you know, that's already, you know, nobody wants to have a roommate when you're just fresh, you know, just married or just engaged or whatever. You know, having to, you know, do your time. And, you know, if you're used to walking around naked or taking a shower, you know, whatever, you have to make adjustments because you have this other roommate. And that's annoying. Just let that play out. Don't make it all these other things that aren't there, because otherwise like you started off with, Patrick and Thais obviously genuinely have this great chemistry. They genuinely love each other. They met organically, like whatever it was, like on when he
Bumble, Tinder, something like that.
Yeah. Like while he was there or whatever in Brazil. And then he like kept going back, like every month he would go back or something. Like he'd been over there a lot. He'd learned the language. Gentlemen, ladies, take note. Learn the language. They seem like a great. I really want to see their actual story play out, not this made up bullshit. But we have to talk about Boston John, because he's getting a lot of buzz online, is what I'm seeing. And this is just mine. I mean, I haven't dug. This is just what I've seen float around a little bit, is people are really digging Boston John.
He's a cutie for sure. He seems like a nice guy.
I think he's getting a lot of I think people are going to automatically be on his side versus Thais's side, no matter what, just because like people automatically like him and he's a good looking guy. And you know you got to deal with the Boston accent, and you know that's a whole other thing. You know.
Yeah,
I say this as a Bills fan. You know, New England anyway.
Yeah. Moving right along, the Muhammad and Eve bidet plumber situation, that was just so staged as well. And I also don't understand, like, these rules. Did she really not understand these rules? And she also met him while she was in a bikini. He commented on pictures of her naked. So where, you know,
they've had sex. You don't get to, I mean, well, I guess you do get to, I mean, he's picking and choosing which aspects of the Muslim religion, the faith that he's going to follow. And I mean, we're all guilty of that to some extent.
Absolutely.
Right? With religion, but like the first day he's there or second day he's there, I guess this is the episode. She's going to have the plumber there. I got it. The bidet is very important to him, very common in the Muslim countries. And he really wants his bidet. She couldn't get a plumber in the months and years before he came, apparently. And the plumber could only come on the second day he's there, whatever. But it goes right along with TLC. He's always having these couples staging these mishaps. couples having these mishaps in front of random service personnel, whether they're at a like a store or a restaurant.
There's going to be a big power struggle with those two because she's so used to being mom to Theron, and Theron, you know, watching him interact with Theron and being a special ed teacher and just watching that was so beautiful. Yeah. And that made me cry because it was so sweet. The kid was just taking to him so well, mm-hmm. was so happy to have.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, you're Muhammad, blah, blah, blah. And he's very smart, very sweet kid. And then, you know, Muhammad's like, well, she seems like she needs a babysitter. Like, didn't you know that this is the situation? Like, this kid cannot be left alone. He special needs. And
you are a babysitter.
You are like basically like anybody who has kids, special needs, you know, any child, mm-hmm. is you're a babysitter. So like, don't play, you know, man up a little bit. I feel like he's a little bit of a toddler himself.
Yeah.
So I feel like the struggle with them is going to be a lot of like his manly, like, I feel like I have to be a man vibes. And then, but he's also like acting like he's five, so it doesn't make sense. So it's like
he's this immature guy. We've talked about this before. Like, there's this mm-hmm. whole class of Tunisian yep. or whatever
Egyptian
yep. whatever Middle men who don't go whatever, like, it's a class system, right? Like, it's like they're lower class, they're not as educated. And I'm not saying that I buy into this or I subscribe to this theory. I'm just saying this is what it's like in some of those countries, is that they have, you know, these young guys who are personal trainers or, you know, Instagram models, fitness models, you know, it's Muhammad or it's Aladdin in a previous season, you know, whatever the situation, it's Azan in, you know, of Nicole and Azan, like, it's the same guy repeated over and over and over. So I don't know what she expects, but I can guarantee you that that's not it. But we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it can't end well in the long term for these two, despite how much
I like her. I like her. I think he's a little naive. I don't think he really knew what he was signing up for, to be honest with you, because this is America. You know, you're going to hire a maintenance person or a plumber, you know, to do these things for you. Oh, I have to be outside the house. Oh, I have to do this. Like, mm-hmm. no, like, why don't you just like, you know, as the man of the house, why didn't he just step into the bathroom and supervise the plumber? That could have been done as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they could have communicated that, but, you know, neither here nor there. But the last one I want to touch was the breastfeeding Kobe kick out of bed thing.
Oh, God.
Which I know drove you nuts.
Yes.
But she's, in my opinion, being really controlling. She's not letting him bond with him. And he was just playing with him. You know what I would have done if I was the mother? I would have said, you want to roll him up? You're going to stay up with him all night. I'm going to bed. Bye.
Right. Which would have been fine. And you know what? Here's the thing. Yeah. He has a routine and they have their routine and, you know, getting riled up before sleep and they fall asleep to breastfeeding, you know, whatever. It's the one night. It's the first night. Let him out. I get you don't want to move. Like, kids, you know, you don't, if kids have a routine, you don't want to, you know, I get that, but that's just, yeah, let it go. She should have let it go. Let it go.
Yeah. She's a brat. And then like, she's go help my mother cook, like, get help my mother.
The dinner
cook.
That's like, in your honor, go cook your own food. But he said, look, just don't talk to me like that. Just ask me nicely. and I'll be happy to. And she did. And she was being all like snitty about it, but she did it. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Where does she get off thinking she can just talk to people that way? Oh, that's right. Because she has her entire life and she's gotten away with it.
Mm-hmm. Brat. Another Ariella.
So yes.
That's pretty much what we got so far for this week. I don't know if any other thoughts, comments.
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think we'll see. That's this. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. If you're a therapist and you want to come on the show, send us your diatribe about Dollar Store Kanye, and we'll find someone to talk about it with on the air. Okay. Thank you guys all for joining us. Hi. Anna, thank you so much for joining me.
That's all we got. Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D, and I've had a reduction, and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.